Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, first ever guest from the Middle East, we're pleased to welcome Stephen Goff, who is covering the World Cup in Qatar for the Washington Post. And I think the last time we spoke to you, you were also in another country as the U.S. men's national team was qualifying. So you've been there for a little while. Just since Sunday night, if I got your Twitter correct initially, and I don't know if you've been there before, what are your impressions of what you've seen over the last 36 hours, Stephen?
Yeah, no, this is my first time in the Middle East, and certainly this is the first time the World Cup has been to the Middle East. Qatar, no matter how you say it, it's a unique place for a major sporting event. Very small. I mean, think about you know, it's a country smaller than Connecticut. Everything's very compact. It's more like an Olympics than a typical World Cup where you go from city to city. Yeah, first impressions, I mean, it's winter here, but it's still warm. It's much cooler than it is in June, July, August when it's, you know, 115 degrees or whatever. It's about 90 degrees. The temperatures are slowly dropping, so it'll be in the 80s when the tournament starts. And it's pleasant at night. You know, fans are starting to arrive. Games start on Sunday. It's a very modern city, a very modern metropolitan area. You know, you go shopping. It's like going to a typical American supermarket. It's very different, but in a lot of ways, it's symbolic of how the world has shrunk.
Do you sense a buzz there, an electricity, as the World Cup draws closer?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a country of 3 million people, and they're expecting, I guess, up to a million visitors at some point. You see it everywhere. I mean, there are large countries that host the World Cup where the daily rhythm continues, even with the tournament on site. Here in a very small country, the World Cup is everywhere. You know, between banners and giant projections on the sides of buildings, to marketing campaigns, and then obviously the stadiums. I mean, you have 8 major stadiums in a metro area, one metro area hosting the World Cup. So you can't miss it, and I think people are very excited. People who live here are eager to welcome the world. Certainly, it's a country that's received a lot of criticism for their human rights policies. Certainly the top of the mind of people visiting, you can't ignore that part of this. Nonetheless, people here have been very warm, very welcoming, very friendly.
It's really interesting to think about the United States re-entry back into the World Cup because, of course, they missed it 4 years ago. And now we're looking at a squad that has, what, one veteran who's ever played in a World Cup before. So what's it been like for them as they land in this country that's so different from the United States and they prepare to reintegrate back into the world of the World Cup?
Yeah, it has been a while. They missed 2018, as you said. The only player from the 2014 squad in Brazil is DeAndre Yedlin, a right back who now plays for MLS's Inter Miami, is the youngest squad here. There's not a lot of international experience. There are a lot of players who play for big clubs in Europe throughout the year, so they do have those experiences, and it's a highly talented squad. It's probably 4 years ahead of its time. You know, if you just look at the age and the experience, this team is probably better equipped to do well when the 2026 World Cup takes place in North America. But they're here now, and they should be here now. You know, the U.S. should never miss a World Cup. They did make amends for missing in 2018 by qualifying for this one. I think we're all kind of curious to see how they perform. I mean, they could finish second in their group. They could finish fourth. Hard to say. England is clearly the group favorite, but this U.S. team is young and exciting and hungry.
Stephen Goff is with us from Qatar. Either way, he's there getting set for the World Cup, which is taking place in November this year. And he's with the Washington Post, and we're excited to have him back on the show, especially on this historic occasion. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What are the expectations as Greg Berhalter takes this team into the World Cup?
They could go 2-0-1 in the group stage. They could go 0-3 in the group stage.
Oh.
Most likely it'll be somewhere in between. The first game will tell us a lot. They're playing Wales. Wales hasn't been to the World Cup since 1958, but it's a country with some great history and a lot of players from the Premier League in England. Very difficult match for the U.S. These are two teams, along with Iran, that seem to be fighting for second place. That's not to say England is definitely going to win the group, but they are clearly the favorites. The success-failure threshold for the U.S. in this World Cup is whether they get out of the group stage. If they finish in the top two in the group, they advance to the round of 16, it's a success, and anything beyond that is bonus. If they don't get out of the group, I think it's going to be very disappointing. Based on FIFA rankings, they're the second best team in this group. Based on their personnel, the makeup of this roster, they probably should finish second. But again, it's a very young and a bit naive squad in some ways. If they can get out of the group, it's a good sign for U.S. soccer.
4 years ago when the United States missed qualifying, and I will never forget that draw against Trinidad and Tobago that dashed their hopes, Christian Pulisic was obviously heartbroken. And I remember that he wrote a story, I think it got published on the Players Tribune, in which he had the specific number of days until the next World Cup would begin. What has he had to say about this experience so far?
His focus has been on the World Cup. He was part of the team that did not make it last time around, and he was certainly one of the few bright spots in that last game against Trinidad. He's in the spotlight. You know, he's the most famous, most popular player on this team. He's been in major marketing and advertising campaigns. There's great expectation on him to perform in this tournament. And it comes at a time where he plays for a big club, Chelsea, in London. He's not a full-time starter, though. So, he's got a lot to prove at this World Cup to show that he is a truly world-class player ready to take that next step in his career. Still only 24 years old. There's a sense that this is his time to lead the U.S. team produce the quality soccer that he has shown in his very early career.
What is the identity of this particular team? We know the youth, but what else makes them who they are?
Typically of U.S. teams, U.S. soccer teams, it's about the work ethic. It's about the cohesion, the chemistry. And Greg Berhalter's really emphasized that. And you saw it in his roster selections. You know, there were probably a few players who had the talent, the ability, the portfolios to be on this roster, but he wanted, he felt it was important to have some, as he calls them, glue guys, players that are important to the character of the team, that, you know, he can rely on the field, but also off the field. In his experience as a player, you know, there were teams that did not have good chemistry and it showed on the field. And now you're blending in a lot of skill and players who have risen through the European leagues. And so you mix the character, the chemistry with the talent, and you on paper have a very good team. You know, whether they get the results or not remains to be seen, but it could be a fun team to watch at times. you know, there's some real character with this group.
Stephen Goff is with us from Qatar / Qatar, covering the World Cup for the Washington Post, and has had a lot of experience covering World Cups, both men and women. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Do you still get really excited to see other parts of the world and this incredible event that is so much bigger outside the United States, to be fair?
Yeah, definitely. First time in the Middle East for me, first time in the Middle East for the World Cup. U.S. team doesn't come here often either. So, you know, it's a new experience for a lot of people. You know, these U.S. players haven't been here. The World Cup is, you know, the biggest sporting event in the world. It's also the biggest party in the world. Now, certainly in Qatar, which is a much more conservative society, culture, it's going to be toned down a bit. You know, alcohol is legal here, but very restricted. So, you know, the usual alcohol-infused parties that take place around the World Cup will not be as widespread as usual. You can get alcohol. You can get beer. I mean, Budweiser is a major sponsor
right.
of the World Cup. It's not readily available. You know, there's not a pub on every corner by any means. And it's going to be different. And I think fans have to prepare for that. And also, you know, respect the, you know, the culture. You dress more modestly here than you would in a warm weather setting for a major sporting event or concert or any large gathering. It's definitely going to be different.
Do you expect there to be a lot of American fans who make this trip?
Oh, absolutely. Typically, for many years now, the number one ticket buying country for a World Cup has been the United States. You know, it was like that in South Africa in 2010, Brazil 2014, less so in Russia because the U.S. didn't qualify. But again, here, now that doesn't mean all those Americans are rooting for the U.S. team. I mean, the U.S., United States is a very diverse country, and people root for their former countries or their parents, you know, former countries. So you'll have fans here who are American, but are, you know, supporting Ecuador or Mexico, you know, particularly the Latin American team,
sure.
where many, you know, a large section of America has its roots. But yeah, there'll be a heavy U.S. presence here. Also, you got to have a lot of money to come to a World Cup. And,
right.
you know, Americans typically have some money, so they can afford to come to a World Cup.
No Italy in this World Cup, which has been a bit of a
Again.
Stunner. Right. And so I know I've heard from fans who lament that fact because they won't be able to cheer for Italy. However, who are the favorites going into this World Cup?
Start with France because they're the defending champion and they have an extraordinary roster. But they also have some players out with injuries. And also no one repeats. No one's repeated since 1962 when Brazil followed up from its 58 championship. So, you know, I'd say right now Brazil is the favorite. And then you have Argentina, Belgium, England, Germany, all in the mix for a championship run. And, you know, we could have a surprise or two here as well. I mean, 4 years ago, Croatia made it all the way to the final.
Mm.
Croatia had a lot of history, but no one expected them to make the championship game. So we'll see how this unfolds. I think people are very curious about Senegal, which an African team has never made the semifinals of the World Cup. Senegal has a lot of potential to go a long way. And I would put my money on Brazil right now.
Once it starts, it seems like it's all the rage. It's a little odd, though, because it's around the holidays here. So I'm kind of wondering how
yep.
it's going to play out in the United States. I think it's challenging, though, whenever it's a sporting event that is, 8 hours time difference ahead. So kind of interested in that. When they missed the World Cup 4 years ago, it was obviously a huge hit to development, and we've seen multiple coaches. We've seen a lot of changes. We've seen the U.S. team struggle still before it found its stride. What do you think is the biggest difference about where the team was then and where the team is now?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a new generation of players coming through, you know, guys who probably weren't quite ready for 2018 are now at the forefront. You know, there's a couple teenagers on this roster. It's a fresh, young group. You know, it likes to play dynamic soccer. It's not always successful. It certainly has weaknesses. It can't really match up with some of the bigger teams in the world. But it's made great strides. And I think Greg Berhalter has done a good job of introducing new players, gotten a couple of regional championships. They qualified for the World Cup. So, you know, they're on the right path. And, I think, you know, I think it lends to positive vibes heading forward. Obviously, you're judged on how you do at a World Cup. And, you know, whether they, you know, if they can get out of the group, I think it's a great sign for everyone involved.
People talk about so often, how can we grow the game of soccer in the United States? And I keep coming back to when you win on the World Cup stage. And just like with the women, going back to even 1999, there will be so much more interest. And we'll see an explosion, I think, in the game if that was the case, if they have a good run.
Sure. I mean, they went to the quarterfinals in 2002. That certainly helped the sport, the men. That certainly helped the sport grow. The growth of MLS has helped.
Yes.
The women's game continues to grow with the national team and the professional league, the NWSL. The foundation is there. It continues to get bigger. We see the numbers. We see stadiums being built. Ultimately, more casual fans will tune into a World Cup than for anything else involving soccer. So they have the stage, and this is their chance to perform and not only help themselves, but help the game at large.
Mm, cannot wait until Monday with that opening match against Wales, 2:00 Eastern time, 11:00 Pacific time. And in Qatar, it's what time?
Yeah. I mean, the kickoffs for the U.S. games are at 10 p.m. local. So it's a lot of sitting around for the players until that 10 p.m. kickoff, and then obviously it won't end until midnight. So some late nights coming here in the group stage.
You can follow Stephen Goff on Twitter at Soccer Insider, and he covers the beautiful game for the Washington Post. So excited to have you on the show again. Be safe, of course, and we look forward to following your report, Stephen.
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.